And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, I'll tell you who else is starting to cover a lot of ground, y'all. Moms for Liberty. So our next guest is somebody who has called in, who is I've met her most recently at a Moms for Liberty shooting event, a fundraiser. And then we saw each other again last night at the Alabama Policy Institute dinner. And I said, hey, how about just calling in tomorrow and giving us an update on the library situation? So without further ado, let me just welcome our friend to the show, Elizabeth Stewart. Elizabeth, how are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate the work you're doing. Hey, listen, let me start up at the state level. So you can probably speak to it. I don't know if you've got all the details, but I know that there was a meeting last night, and there's been a push even by the governor to sort of deal with some of the sexual content that we keep finding in kids' sections. And then there's liberal groups that are fighting to keep it there, and we got a group called Clean Up Alabama trying to get it out. But give us what you know about the state-level fight right now.
Well, the state-level fight's really been going on for a number of months. So as I talked to your listeners the other week, we basically have had an investigation done by the governor's office conclude with the governor writing a four-page memo at the beginning of October urging the Alabama Public Library Service to address their policies. And when she mentions policies, she's referring to the affiliation with the American Library Association, specifically around the Bill of Rights that they have adopted, but also pretty much every local library, to my knowledge, including Athens Limestone, has adopted, and the Freedom to Read Statement. These are both documents that are drafted by the American Library Association. And when you adopt those, you state that any movement of books is considered censorship. So when a book is there, it's incredibly difficult to relocate it. And the governor brings up the policy as well at the statewide level with APLS, but also local libraries, of the book relocation form, where parents are being asked to fill out about a two-page form, read books, which we're talking about very long chapter books that may have numerous sections that they want quotes of, and these have to be submitted to the Library Board of Trustees. And the governor is basically saying, you need to have local criteria at your library that states the section that books go in, and parents should not have to go through writing essays and defending them to a board of trustees to ask for a book relocation or to simply just ask, is this the right placement for this book?
Yeah,
and so nobody knows because there's no criteria.
So the bottom line too there, aside from the lack of criteria, is that there's been the burden has been placed upon the parents to have to go and fill out these massive forms, read the books in detail, provide the quotes that are offensive. And yet you also see them sometimes they go to the meetings and they read sections out loud. They don't want them read out loud because they're so offensive. It just boggles the mind why it's always got to be that the parents have to do what these bureaucrats and these activists who work in libraries know full well they should be doing.
Exactly right. So not only is the governor calling out that the process to challenge a book placement is very arduous, but she's also challenging the notion that it's completely the parent's job to monitor every moment that a child is in the library. That gives the complete wrong perception of what we should want our local libraries to be. Parents should want to bring their children and not have concerns over what they're going to be exposed to in a child, juvenile, or young adult section. And so the governor is saying, yes, parents should be involved, but that doesn't mean that libraries shouldn't also be careful about what they're displaying and the placement of books. And both of those things can happen at the same time. And right now they're not in a lot of Alabama libraries.
Well, and go figure that the library wound up being a culture war or a place of controversy. But and it's not everywhere because there's great librarians and there's still great libraries. But you're dealing with one right up now. I mean, you've been meeting with the folks at the Limestone Athens Library, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us about what's going on there.
Yes, I love this library. This is the library that I use and I take my children to, and I've made it abundantly clear that there's really not a lot of problems at this library. Now, the Board of Trustees will tell you that they have moved six authors So that could mean multiple books amongst those authors. And my concerns as a parent there has been to really get ahead of what's going on. You have areas like Prattville, Alabama, where they've had over 100, I believe, relocation requests of books. Wow. And again, we go back to the arduous, you know, job that that is. So Athens has not had that. We have a great library director. But the reality is that their policy adopts the American Library Association Bill of Rights, the freedom to read. It makes it extremely difficult for any acting librarian to move or relocate a book without violating their own policy. In addition, the policy under sexual content for selection of books for children literally just states it's the responsibility of the library to provide an adequate quantity of books on sexual material, and it goes into the fact that they want that to be reflecting changing attitudes and departures from traditional mores. Nothing in here actually talks about the different age groups that represent the young adult and children section and what content should be placed in each of those sections. So what we did, a number of citizens of Athens City and Limestone went to the Board of Trustees meeting last week. And we actually have a woman working with Moms for Liberty that's a former librarian, and she helped draft up potential criteria for each of those age groups.
Wow, okay.
And what that could potentially look like. And that was presented to the Board of Trustees.
How was it received?
And I think it was received positively because they kept putting it back on presenters of, well, how do you determine criteria? And our response was, well, that's your job. You're the Board of Trustees. It clearly says in the policy that you determine the policy, but if you want help, we do have a librarian. I myself have studied education into graduate degrees. I'm offering up time for free. There's lots of citizens in Limestone, Athens that would be happy to help with this. But if we removed the American Library Association and then drafted at the local level criteria that was very objective, very clear for parents to understand, that to me seems like it would get ahead of potential issues in the future with inappropriate book displays or book readings.
So let me jump in there. I want to rehash a couple things you said. So first of all, the policy currently calls for them to have books regarding sexual content. They feel like it's their obligation or their duty to provide books on sexual content, even when they provide books on sexual content that go outside of what they call traditional mores and customs, which is going to mean basically not just heterosexual sex between one consenting man and a woman. There might be any number of things that could be in a book then at that point. And then the reality is, though, this is promulgated by the American Library Association, headed up right now by someone who is a self-proclaimed Marxist gender queer or something like that. Well, we're seeing a movement right now nationwide to just go ahead and abandon membership in the ALA, the American Library Association. I think you told me a minute ago during the break, is it Florida that's already pulled out as a state?
Well, Florida pulled out last week, but okay. I can tell you that Texas has already pulled out. Tennessee has pulled out. Montana has pulled out. South Carolina has pulled out.
Wow.
Wyoming is pulling out county by county. We are one of the last red states to address this. And as of this month, it appears that the director of Alabama Public Library Services is indicating that she plans to push for the removal of ALA affiliation among APLS. That has to be voted on. I'm not sure if that has officially happened, but even if it does, every local library in Alabama, that affiliation has to change library by library, because APLS can disaffiliate, but the local libraries still have the authority to be affiliated with ALA, be getting book recommendations from ALA. Athens Limestone Library, the taxpayers here are paying for our librarian's membership to ALA. So no one's saying she can't be a member on her own dime, but right now the taxpayers are paying for it.
Wow.
And so I am encouraging people, reach out to your county commissioners, your city council, both of those entities, the Athens City Council and Limestone County Commissioners, they fund this library. And also the Library Board of Trustees, they are going to be meeting. They said they're really going to address that section on sexual content. We'll see. I'm hoping that they do.
Well, And there's one other place, too, where they get funding. I can just tell you as a former legislator that there are grants that come through the budgets passed and the appropriations processes of the Alabama legislature that provide grant monies that come into public libraries every year. And a lot of times the legislator themselves gets to go and actually, you know, give them out at a meeting or whatever else. And it's, you know, kind of like big doings. But the reality is we've got state and local tax dollars that are coming into the libraries that may be going to things that no one ever expected.
And the only other update that I'd like to give on this is that every single member of the Limestone delegation has been approached, both by Moms for Liberty, but also by some of fellow members of the delegation, and with the request that they publicly in writing respond and reach out to the Board of Trustees asking them to address this library situation locally. And as of today, only Representative Ben Harrison and State Senator Larry Stutz have been willing to do that in writing. And it doesn't have to be the letter that the two of them signed, but the request has been made for all of the local delegation to address this because it's also their home library.
Yeah.
And so that's another place that people can reach out and just say, hey, you all are involved on this at the state level with Alabama Public Library Services, but the governor has definitely stated we have to address this local library by local library, and they can speak to it as well.
Well, it's a fight we didn't expect to have happen, but with all the cultural rot we've got going on left and right now, it's a fight that we need to have. And I appreciate the fact that you guys are engaged with this. Elizabeth, just keep us posted. If you hear something else on the state or local level, just let us know and we'll get you back on, okay?
Thank you so much. Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Take care. Wow. That's just crazy that we're sitting here, Boomer shaking his head. We're just sitting here having to talk about local libraries, the places as a kid where I used to ride my bike to check out books and, you know, hang out. And, you know, before the days of having home internet, you went down there to do your studies for a term paper or whatever else. And activists have gotten hold of so many of them. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, the cultural rot. Oh, there's more. And it's not all about renaming birds. There's some other stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you about the Elm Foundation. The Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors. And by the way, I love it when we're able to sponsor, we have people that are sponsors that just do cool, innovative stuff that actually means meaningful impact in people's lives. And we got some great sponsors, Elm Foundation being one of them. So the Elm Foundation, that's ELM, Elm Foundation, you can find them on their website at ELMHSV, because they're in Huntsville, Elm Huntsville, elmhsv.org. And y'all, this is an organization, a charitable organization, that is literally out there getting people off the streets, changing their lives. And by the way, we're not talking about like a government-run program where they just throw money at it and hope things go well and it becomes a welfare society and they get free money to live in tent cities and do drugs. It's not like that at all. The Elm Foundation is actually providing people with accountability, providing them with the idea that, you know, healthy relationships and dignity through work and stuff like that just really can be life-changing, and it is, because they're changing lives. And they're right there in our backyard, Elm Foundation. Check them out. Their website is elmhsv.org. Now, we had them on the show, I guess it's been 6 months ago, and just had an amazing interview with them and talking through the work they're doing. And I was sold, y'all. Glad to have them on. And if you want to check them out again, like I said, the Elm Foundation, ELMHSV.org. And by the way, they're a 501. As we approach year end, if you're thinking about your charitable giving, that may be one of the spots you want to look. All right, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, the cultural rot. had a big time making fun of the whole idea of renaming birds because they're racist names that everybody knew. You know, when I looked at the McGowan's Longspur, my first thought was, that's a racist name.
I don't want to hear that name anymore. Just stop.
Well, you don't have to. Now it's the thick-billed longspur. I even say the thick-billed longspur. That's like the little chicken on the one that always drove foghorn legged. Yes.
They think that's so much better.
I guess it is. Never mind. They just fat-shamed the bird.
Fat-shamed the bird. And that bird's going to have some problems.
But I know. But cultural rot. Like, you know, nothing is sacred. Like, for instance, how about this one? Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade teases its gender non-binary bonanza.
I saw that this morning. Ridiculous. It makes me very mad.
Story on Breitbart.
Breitbart.
Got my man Boomer just steaming.
It does.
But, starts off saying not even Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is safe from the left's maniacal obsession with gender nonconformity. The family-friendly holiday tradition broadcast on NBC will feature performances from several Broadway shows, including Shucked and Juliet, both of which feature gender non-binary performers in major roles. Why would you? Okay. You know when they do this, by the way, you know what they're doing, Boom? They're sitting there and they're going, we need to get us a non-binary in here. Can you find me a non-binary? There's one on Broadway. Bring him in. We need some of that non-binary action. Okay.
That's exactly what they're doing. Hey, let's make sure what's that score called?
Our ESG score.
Our ESG score.
Gotta make sure
up.
Our ESG score goes up. We better get us a couple of gender queers. Hey. What is that? I don't know. Go find me one though.
Hey, do you dress up? You know, like a woman. Come over here.
Drag Queen Story Hour now recruiting. Okay, that's a Macy's Day Parade. How about this cultural rot? Target. I know McQueen is still upset over Target.
Yeah, very much so.
I know. It's been a blow to many. Yeah, but you didn't see that article?
Actually, I did not. May have been one of my questions for you today.
Target CEO, conservatives upset over trans merchandise are considered to be more dangerous to the employees of Target than the George Floyd riots.
He's just making stuff up.
Just making crap up.
That's right.
All right. Target CEO Brian Cornell deflected when he was pressed Thursday about specific Target products that generated the boycott back in May. Okay, keep in mind, remember this?
Oh, yes.
They had, it was gay pride time, right? Of course, I think every other month is gay pride month now, but it was gay pride time. And it says outraged shoppers took to social media back in May after discovering LGBTQ pride clothing for children to include transgender tuck-friendly bathing suits. At the popular retail chain Target. It was also later pieced together. It said that one of the designers tied to the merchandise, which also featured occult images when you looked at it, and phrases things like Satan respects pronouns and trans witches for abortions were adorning some of the items that were being sold at Target. Well, of course conservatives and Christians decided, all right, you crossed the Rubicon. We need you to reel it back in. Well, the Target CEO takes issue with this. And his sales are still in the tank. And so he's trying to say that there were very aggressive Christians and conservatives who showed up trying to make things happen in our store, tearing down. That didn't happen.
It did not happen at all. We just aren't buying your stuff anymore.
That's exactly right. Never mind the fact that he had bomb threats from actual LGBTQ activist groups because they were mad when they took down some of the displays. But that's the cultural rot we're dealing with. So now we got our Macy's Day Parade. We got our bird names.
Bird names.
And dadgummit, McQueen's trying to decide whether she can shop at Target anymore. I got a few more of these. Cultural rot. We're going to take it down that road for a few more minutes. When we get back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.